Thank you very much for your invitation, and I do truly pray that our brother's prayers will be answered, and that we'd know the Lord's presence and the Lord's teaching, the Lord's blessing. I'll read from Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." The Lord helping, I would seek to speak particularly those final few verses in Matthew chapter 28. And particularly verse 18, 19 and 20. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Holy Ghost, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Those words at the beginning of verse 18 felt come with some sweetness and a power, "And Jesus came." And surely that is what we truly desire, that Jesus comes. As we meet together in worship. The Lord has given that precious promise, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as we know, in that same body in which he died, rose again, he's ascended into heaven, glorified now at the right hand of the Father, but by the Holy Spirit, the Lord is in the midst. We may be discouraged, devil tempting us, and we see so many running in the way of error or profanity or unbelief, and places where the word of God is truly loved, few come. But the Lord has given that promise, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. The Lord comes, is here in the midst, by the Holy Spirit. And we have the precious word of God. There's that union of the written and the incarnate, eternal word. And each believer, so precious a promise it is, that Christ in you, the hope of glory. That even at those times when we're alone, yet we're not alone. Christ dwelling in the hearts, in the heart of each believer by the Spirit. An encouragement, what a comfort. The privilege that the Lord should be pleased, the Creator of heaven and earth, to dwell in the hearts of sinners, unworthy, but worthy as the Lamb that was slain. Washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, clothed in his precious righteousness. How great the privileges. Alas, too often we are hearing the devil's temptations, getting downcast, murmuring in our tents. But may we know pray to know more and more the resurrection power, that life. As our Lord said, because I live, ye shall live also. And Jesus came. And also we read, and Jesus spake unto them. And that is a wonderful privilege. And it is not just something that was for those disciples at that time. Yes, it was truly. And to every true child of God. As the Gospel according to Matthew concludes, those promise, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That is a promise not only to those disciples then, but the true church of God, lo, I am with you alway. Jesus, that precious title, Emmanuel, God with us. And alway. And that intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father, it is continual. Even when we are asleep or when we are even backsliding. Or when we are cast down or tossed up and down or tempted or tried. Yet the Lord is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And that promise is good. Lo, I am with you alway. Even unto the end of the world. Amen. The word amen means, it's often translated verily in many places in the New Testament. But it means it's true, it's sure, it's certain, from a Hebrew word. It's certain, it's sure. A title of Christ, I am the Amen. It's the last word here in the Gospel according to Matthew. It is the last word in the Bible. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. It's remarkable to find that the first word in the Bible is, well, in the original, it's beginning. which is a title of Christ. The first word and the last word, title of Christ, beginning and amen. And there is the power of God. And in creation, in Revelation, that final verse, there's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be with you all. Amen. And Jesus came and spake unto them. I feel more and more conscious in the years I've been in the ministry. Yes, I'm called to speak. And as our Lord came unto those disciples and said, go ye therefore and teach your nations. Yes, and we must speak. But there's one thing more important, that Jesus comes and speaks. And that we only speak because he spake. We see an order here, and Jesus came and spake unto them. We do need that call of God, to that witness within of the Holy Spirit, to speak of he whom we know. And as individual believers or as churches, to bear that testimony of someone we know, not of an unknown Saviour or a Saviour of others, but our Saviour. To know him whom to know is life eternal. How precious it is that Jesus came and Jesus spake. And spake unto them, spake unto the disciples. We have it even more closely, and spake unto us. We're in Hebrews chapter 1. And God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. How great a privilege it is. Alas, too often we're downcast. But how great the privilege is, Jesus comes and speaks. I was struck in meditating just before the service, and as we read this, we have a stark contrast between those to whom Jesus came and those whom the Lord did not come to. There's the empty tomb. And what a difference between those believers. The women who went out quickly, the tomb was empty. They'd come to find the body of our Lord, and to show, as it were, that last act of love. They find the tomb was empty. But there the Lord testified by his angel, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. To them, and indeed, I trust to us, as we look back by faith, the empty tomb is a wonderful truth. That the Lord is risen. That death and hell, the grave, that victory has been gained by our Lord. We're strictly forbidden in the scriptures to have communication with the dead, otherwise referred to in the scriptures as necromancy. Absolutely forbidden to try and pray to the dead or contact the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ is alive, live forevermore. And thus we must pray in the name of Jesus. Whoever liveth, to make intercession at the right hand of the Father for us. And those women went forth, they went to tell his disciples. Behold, and Jesus met them, saying, all hail. The original, the word translates literally as joy, rejoice. That first word that the risen Lord spake, joy, or literally rejoice. All hail. What a source of joy it is that the Lord should come. The risen Lord, who went through unspeakable suffering on behalf of his one true church upon the cross. Suffered in body and in soul. Has now risen again, declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. All hail, joy. That other word we read him that the Lord said unto the disciples was peace. Peace be unto you. And we read elsewhere in that joy and peace in believing through Christ. And Christ came and spake. What a contrast with the others who were witnesses of the empty tomb. Some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. To them the empty tomb was a subject of fear. Whatever has taken place. See the hardness of man's heart without grace. They had the very evidence before them, the plainest of evidences. They'd even been taunting our Lord from the cross about the rising again and or coming down from the cross. They had remembered his words concerning the third day. And that's why they'd set the watch. How hard the hearts were. And such were some of us until Jesus came and spake. They spake those words of power, words of mercy, words of grace. But here we see the hardness, depravity of fallen man. Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Here we have lies, bribery, corruption. What maketh us to differ? It is the grace of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any should boast. And why is it that any of us can say that I believe? It's because Jesus has come. That the Lord has come by the Spirit. So the Lord said, ye must be born again. But Jesus came and spake unto them. So mercy it is, the Lord comes and speaks unto us again. The Lord visits. In times of distress, times of trouble. Times perhaps when we don't know how to continue or how to go on. This promise is still good. Lo, I am with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. But to come more particularly to the verses in 18 and 19. Jesus came and spake unto them. What did he say? All power. That word could also be translated authority. That's the same in the original. Power, authority. Synonymous. All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. There we have the clearest statement from our Saviour himself. His absolute sovereignty. King of kings. Lord of lords. Again, we have to confess. Too often we forget. Yes, it may be part of our creed. Sovereignty of God. Too often we forget. Like Jacob, all these things are against me. All these things have happened. All these troubles have come upon us. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? No, as for God, his way is perfect. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All things are in his hand, at his command. All things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purposes. What cause we have to thank God. The privilege it is to be called to such a salvation as this. To know the Saviour. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power over all the affairs of men. All power over the hearts of men. We cannot understand it. Some stumble at this and can't receive it. And have to say, and will claim that Jesus died only to make it possible. If only you would believe. Well, that's to say that Christ doesn't have power. I can remember as a student, and I'd only recently been brought to some knowledge and seeking after what we call the doctrines of grace, the sovereignty of God in salvation. I was in a Bible study with some other students, and there was some discussion about Romans chapter 8 and the conclusion of it. And where it said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then those in the Bible study made the comment, well, of course, that doesn't include our own free will. As it were, completely set at naught, well, not that they could, but as it were, to set at naught the glorious sovereignty and promises of God. Not that anybody can set those, overturn such things, but as it were, in their awful conclusion. And they seem quite pleased about it as well. Horrified. But all power is given unto me, saith the Lord, in heaven and in earth. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? That was the confession of King Nebuchadnezzar. Greatest of kings. But at a simple word from heaven, brought right down. And he humbled himself before God and made that confession. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And we cannot comprehend how it is, but may we have that increase of faith to believe. that the Lord's purposes and the Lord's counsel goes on undisturbed. His eternal purposes, despite all the various wills and desires and sin, it's in a way almost incomprehensible. There is man committing all sorts of sins and the devil tempting, yet at the end of it, and it came to pass, we read. The will of the Lord, it comes to pass. Our Lord Jesus Christ, although it was by wicked hands, and they'll be accountable for their sin, yet he was offered himself. He was crucified, everything in fulfilment of the will of the Father. An Old Testament prophecy, according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And may the Lord give us that resurrection power to look up in our own lives and circumstances. Alas, too often we hear of some bad news and we start panicking. Some trouble comes and we're caught unawares. But all is in God's hand. And it's a good hand. For his beloved people for whom our Lord laid down his life, that number that no man can number, some try to, but they fail, but it's known unto God, out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then we have, go ye therefore, and teach, literally make disciples or instruct, disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. A so-called Great Commission. We also have another expression recorded in Mark. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Here we have that Great Commission for the church to the end of time to testify. And the church to go forth and teach. And those who are called personally into the teaching, preaching ministry, to go forth. Go ye therefore. Therefore, that's the sovereignty of our Lord, is the very reason for going forward and to teach. Now, I've had it thrown at me over the years that on the one hand, either you believe in the sovereignty of God, or on the other hand, you do missionary work. And if you believe in the sovereignty of God, you don't believe in missionary work. And if you do missionary work, well, then you'd be free will. And saved by one's own supposed free will and so on. But all the noise and disturbance from various people, we have to come back to this, what saith the scripture? And the scripture is very clear. Here we have the sovereignty of our Lord, the kingship of Christ, all power, authority, the kingdom of heaven. Go ye therefore. It's the very reason to go forward. And this is in the Lord's hand. Sadly, devil can make a snare out of them, bring temptations and tempt people to fatalism. And people have been caught in a vice in these churches. Denominations have been caught in a vice here. We believe in the sovereignty of God. Well, in which case we shouldn't put our own hands to it. There's carnal reasoning, human reasoning. But what saith the scripture? Go ye therefore and teach. And the promise is the Lord, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The sovereignty of God is the very reason for bringing forth that testimony of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. for he is king, if we be his servants, following him in love because he first loved us, testifying of a glorious Saviour who yet lives, who is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now we have another scripture which is very, very plain, but alas, I've heard people quote the first part of it and forget the next part. And selective quotations can be very dangerous. The devil selectively quoted part of Psalm 91 to our Lord. Our Lord answered it by, each time the devil, it is written, the word of God. We have to be very careful about selective quotations. Acts 13 and verse 48, we read, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Yes, that's true. I've heard that talked about, but no attention paid to the verse 49 that follows. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. The third verse 48, spoken about as if the sovereignty of God means we just, as it were, stay in our church or our chapel and we scarcely even welcome a stranger who might come in through the door. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. There's a little word that follows, and that's and. If you have a building that's made out of bricks, they need, as it were, to be joined together for a stability, and usually use mortar. And the and is, well, it's called a conjunction in English, something that joins together. One thing that's notable is, being a scientist and in with statistics, I'd probably be curious to know, but how many verses there are in the Bible that begin and. There's a huge number of them, and this is one of them, and, verse 49 in chapter 13 of Acts, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. That little word and joins together. Yes, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, the word of the Lord shall not return unto him void, but shall accomplish all its purpose. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. And then we have but, in verse 50, there was trouble. The Lord hasn't called us to, you might say, just a life of plain sailing, or to be popular with everybody and have all the comforts and the applause of men. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honourable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But yet the promise is, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I'll just note that before I came to a proper knowledge of these things, I used to use the New International Version of the which is a very poor, bad translation of a corrupt original text as well. But one thing I noticed in retrospect, looking back at most of these modern versions, they keep on missing out the word and. I was always taught at school, you never started a sentence with and. You started a sentence with a capital A, and, that was a black mark in English. However, we should always view God's word as God's word and not judge it and adapt it to our standards, because it's the word of God. The Lord Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, and Jesus is the word. That little word, and. It's there in the original. It's the word of God. But it's almost like everything is joined together in the glorious union, unity. We've talked about a couple of verses here, how it joins together what some people would make out as totally opposite, contradictory doctrines and practice. But the and, it joins it together. And shows, indeed, it's one. And the word of God is one, from Genesis to Revelation. And the purposes of God are one. And through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are one in him, in blessed union. But finally, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Well, one is wearied by all the novelties that men invent for trying to do what they call evangelism, and various sorts of other gospels that are preached, and different sorts of Christs who are brought out to say, lo, here is Christ, and lo, there is Christ. And various, all sorts of denominational customs and traditions. But the word of God is simple, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded, the word of the Lord. And that's where we're safe, in the word of the Lord, in Christ. Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen.